freestyle the rest of this competition. Loads more fun. Want to acknowledge before I get going how grateful I am for the dim ambiance in the room, although not as much on the stage. There is a stress that I know only a handful of you, maybe about half the room, will get. And of those who get it, not everybody has experienced this in the same way that I have. And that's the stress of having to go pee before you go on stage and you're wearing khakis. It's extraordinarily uncomfortable. I kept my coffee cup up front there because at a certain point, there's my normal go-to is if there's a hand dryer in there, you can kind of like, stand in front of the hand dryer. Dry it off. And then as a backup, I just keep my coffee, and then I can just pour my coffee into my lap. And I've got a plausible excuse. We are talking this morning. I changed my title last minute, and I think it was a good choice to change it to Carbonated Holiness. That's the title from a quote by Anne Lamott, which I absolutely love. Laughter is carbonated holiness. We're going to talk about laughter and joy and humor and levity as spiritual practices. We're a spiritual community, so what's so spiritual about laughing? What's spiritual about being funny? For me, my life has been pretty crazy over the last, I don't know, pick your time frame, 10 years, 5 years, 5 months. It's been a wild roller coaster. And one thing I'm learning slowly, not always gracefully, is to laugh at life's absurdities. And this doesn't come easy for me, because it's far easier getting pissed when things happen that don't go the way you want it to go. Back in December, I had a journal entry. I'm going to just share a segment or a portion of that. This was written on December 21st, which was the winter solstice, shortest day of the year, the longest night. I wrote, "I'm sitting with what the darkness brings in the season. I know the darkness will not last forever. I know that, but knowing it and feeling it are two different things. Right now, this darkness feels soul-crushing. My house is being violently swept empty of its furniture. And I'm definitely not at the door laughing, inviting the guests in." I was referencing this quote by Rumi, which is from his poem, The Guest House. I've quoted this so many times. I love this poem. Rumi says, "Even if there are a crowd of sorrows," he said, this being human is a guest house. That's how he starts. This being human is a guest house. And every day is a new arrival, a joy, a sorrow. And he says, they're coming in, these guests, and even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, he says, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. And I, in my journal entry for that day, it was appropriate because I said, I'm not at that stage. I can't meet these unexpected life circumstances with laughter yet. But I'm learning. Time and space and friendship, community, they all help. Last week, Beth invited us to find beauty in the ordinary by treating seeing itself as a spiritual practice. She had some wonderful, wonderful images and helped us to train our eyes to look for beauty and wonder in the most unexpected of places. And this week, I want to do the same thing, except I want to explore laughter and humor as a spiritual practice, as a lens through which we can see the world. And the beautiful thing is if you learn to see that way, it gives you It colors your lens. So, like, I wear these a lot because I like my glasses. These are my Hunter Thompson glasses that make me look a little more cool and hip. And it also has a yellow... You're not supposed to... That wasn't a joke. You laughed entirely too hard at that. I wear these to look cool and hip. And when I... It colors the world a little bit. It gives it an amber hue, which is kind of fun. I have some other glasses that I wear as well that kind of, like, accentuates certain parts of the color spectrum, and I love seeing the world in different ways. And I like to think of humor and laughter as kind of a set of glasses through which we can see the world. And life is tough. I mean, we can all acknowledge that. Life is full of disappointments, it's full of tragedy. You turn on the news and you are so fed up. You are frustrated with life, with family, with finances, with getting ahead. Life can be really, really challenging. Which is why sometimes we need to put on our lens of laughter, of humor, and learn to see and laugh at the absurdities of life. So, the first thing is that laughter, it expands our perspective. It helps us to see things that we're not currently seeing. It gives us a fresh perspective on our circumstances. It helps us zoom out. And it helps us break the spell of the monotonous. Life can be a bit of a drag sometimes. Feels like you wake up and you do the same thing over and over, and it's like you're living in a Groundhog Day movie, and it just feels monotonous. And then sometimes you're like, I don't have a whole lot to look forward to. And laughter and humor helps you to zoom out and see past the monotony and learn to see the absurdities, the humor, the levity. It reminds us that our pains and our fears, they're real. Okay? Laughter doesn't diminish our pain. Doesn't diminish our stress, our anger, our frustration. It doesn't diminish that, and it doesn't ignore that, but it reminds us that that's not all there is. That's part of the story, yes, but that's not all the story. Rumi, who I quoted earlier, said, to sell your cleverness and buy bewilderment. Sell your cleverness and buy bewilderment. That word bewilder is such a fun word. It has that prefix be, and then this older verb wilder, which literally means to lure into the wilds, which is such a fun and interesting concept to think about. When you're bewildered, it feels like you're wandering aimlessly. You can't make sense of where you're heading. You're confused. And most of the time when we use bewilderment, we're talking about it in a confused sense. Rumi's not saying to go out there and just be confused and wander around like you're a senile patient who's lost his handler. He's saying, sell your cleverness, sell and get rid of your certainty, and choose to go into the wild. Choose to allow the absurdities of life to lure you into the wild, to wild you, and to wild your soul. To loosen your grip on certainty. To meet life with wonder instead of certainty. So there's a little practical application here we're going to try, and we need full audience participation. We good? Okay, let's see. Everybody hands up? Everybody hands up? Oh, see, there we go. Full audience participation. First of all, I want you to take, for the next 10 seconds, don't argue with me here, do this, okay? I want you to, in your seats, clench your butt cheeks as hard as you can. 10, 9, 8, I don't see everybody clenching. 7, 6, 5, 4, keep clenching. 3, 2, 1. Okay, unclench your butt cheeks. Now, some of you may need to reach up there, and this is an activity you can do later on at home, okay? So you're going to do that same activity at home. You're going to clench your butt cheeks for about 10 seconds. And you're going to unclench your butt cheek. And you're going to reach up there and you're going to dislodge that stick that's been stuck up there. And we all have one. We all have something that keeps us from cutting loose, from laughing and having fun. We have to let go of the need to act like we have it all figured out. Because here's a little hint, not us two. We're all just as Ram Dass says, we're all just walking each other home. Rumi is saying, trade the tight little satisfaction, your clenched butt cheeks of certainty. Trade that for having wilder openness of wonder. As Bob mentioned, laughter is literally medicine for your body and brain. It is so good for you. If you are not regularly going to comedy clubs, watching comedy specials, reading funny books, doing something that makes you laugh, my challenge to you is to do that. I'll recommend a couple. Taylor Tomlinson just did an amazing comedy special filmed right here in Grand Rapids called Prodigal Daughter. You can stream it on Netflix. I highly, highly recommend that show, especially if you come out of a Christian or evangelical background like me. The humor is cathartic and wonderful and sacrilegious and beautiful. I love, love, love Taylor Tomlinson. So this week, your homework is to laugh a little. Because laughter is good medicine for your body, for your brain. It reduces stress. It's an excellent coping skill. Even fake laughing can have the same effect. Let's give that a try. Nothing funny is happening right now. But I just, not yet. Inside voices. I want to just have 5 seconds of raucous, uproarious laughter. It's fake, okay? This is going to feel weird and uncomfortable. I'm going to fully tell you that up front. Okay, ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Produces similar amounts of the brain chemistry that makes you feel good. Thich Nhat Hanh said, well, I'll get to that quote in a second. I'm going to give you 2 examples here. So we don't have a high-tech solution to this, so I'm going to do this through my lapel mic. I have 2 little videos to show you how easy laughter can change your perspective and how ubiquitous it is, how there are just scenarios all around us that can give us laughter. Here's one of my favorite, is there's something contagious about watching a baby laugh, right? Because it does. They don't have to have anything in particular. I don't have to work on my best jokes with a kid, it's just like a crazy face and they can lose it. Or this particular baby, it was paper. I can just watch that all day. That's so good. Here's another one. This is an experiment that was done on a train, and they had some people with hidden cameras doing a little social experiment about what would happen if somebody just started laughing. How contagious is laughter?
Thank you.
That video goes on for 2 minutes. It's contagious. Good laughter. You can be in a really, really bad headspace. And laughing feels like one of the last things you want to do. I get that. I've been there. I know that. But it's contagious, and sometimes, just like when you're really cold, you just need to get into a warm room and surround yourself with blankets. It takes some preparation, some acclimation, to get you out of the headspace you're in and to just loosen up and have some fun. Thich Nhat Hanh, the advice that he has is this: sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy. Sometimes your joy is the source of your smile. Sometimes you're smiling because everything is great and feeling good, but sometimes you have to kickstart that engine. Those of you who grew up old enough to have the types of cars that when they wouldn't start, you would have to get it on a hill and then just get it rolling down, shift in the gear, right? Sometimes we need to do that with ourselves. We just need to kick that humor into gear. And then we'll find that our joy can be reverse engineered. That's what's pretty amazing about the human body. It's like our brain, we've got all kinds of software bugs called cognitive biases and logical fallacies. We have all sorts of ways that our brain plays tricks on us. But, like any good software engineer will tell you, two can play that game. You can reverse engineer and trick your brain into new ways of thinking. Humor is one of the best ways to do that. It gets you out of your funk. And then that laughter produces dopamine. And your brain and body gets flooded with these neurochemicals that actually help you to feel better naturally. Now, I'm not for a minute saying that this is an easy thing to do. This is the last thing we feel to do when we are having a pity party. When we're sad and we're in our bed and the blankets are pulled up and we don't want to see anyone, the last thing we feel like doing is laugh. And it's also probably one of the best things that we can do. We talked about kintsugi a couple weeks ago. This Japanese art form of taking broken pottery and repairing it and building it, and instead of like trying to hide the cracks, to embellish the cracks with gold, and it becomes more beautiful. I would challenge you that the cracks that you're embarrassed about, the parts of your life that are broken and maybe don't quite fit together so perfectly, those cracks are probably the most interesting thing about you. They're probably some of the most compelling parts of your story. And if we were to sit down around a fire like we're going to do this afternoon, if we were going to sit around and tell stories and maybe have a couple beers or a bourbon, and loosen up a little bit, and you could share parts of the stories that revealed your cracks, I think what you would find is that instead of wanting to hide those parts of yourself, that's actually the parts that you need to put some gold dust on, that you need to embellish and shine, because that's part of your story. A stand-up comic I was talking to recently was talking about the importance of mining your own life for material. Keeping journals and joke books and things like that. So like more recently I've been writing just pages and pages and pages of stuff, and most of it's not funny, but it's funny to me, which is exactly what I'm going for. And he said that you have to work with what you have. You know, anyone can write, you know, cheesy jokes, you know, news weekend style about, you know, the price of gas these days or whatever. That's one type of humor. But like Taylor Tomlinson's humor, for example. The reason why I love Taylor is because these are stories from her life. And life is absurd. Chances are, each and every one of you has some pretty absurd stories in your past. Your sources and wells of humor. As we said earlier, that Anne Lamott quote, laughter is carbonated holiness. A really, really good fizzy pop. What's your favorite soda drink there? How many of you are Coca-Cola fans? Hands up. See, I started from here. Gotta put your hands way up. Okay, Coca-Cola fans. Okay, hands down. What about Diet Coke? Diet Coke, okay. What about Dr. Pepper? Dr. Pepper. What about Cherry Coke? No Cherry Coke takers. Sprite.
Root beer.
Root beer? Somebody said root beer? Oh, there's some hands up for root beer. Ginger ale, Verner's, we're in Michigan, all right. Verner's, all right, there we go. Okay. Whatever that really, really good fizzy drink is, you get it from like a soda fountain, right? That's perfect. Keep that image in your head. Carbonated holiness. I love the dichotomy of that because holiness is such a stodgy word. It's a word that I've had to kind of reclaim in my own life. It used to mean something different to me than it does now. And I like thinking about carbonated holiness, that laughter is this compressed joy that sort of bubbles up from within us. And sometimes laughing in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty, is one of the best things that we can do. So, I've got some random observations that I want to share with you. I was thinking, this is just this morning. I pulled down my journal and I wrote down the question. I said, this happened after I woke up, and the first thing I do in the morning is my little dog, Bella, who I love to death. You've all seen pictures of Bella in the newsletter, right? Okay. I wake up in the morning and she's getting progressively more and more deaf, so she doesn't hear me really well. Most of the time in the morning, I startle her when I go to say, because I'm like, Bella, Bella, and she doesn't hear me, and first time I touch her, she jumps up. And so I usually spend the first minute or so in the morning, you know, patting and scratching her behind the ears. She loves being scratched behind the ears. Oh, who's a good girl? Who's a good girl? You know, that way that we talk to dogs. And I was thinking to myself, why do we do that for our dogs and not for each other? Why don't we do that for ourselves? And so I came up with this idea. Tell me if you think this is a good one. Canine affirmations. Canine affirmations, okay? So you scratch yourself behind the ear. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? Oh, you did such a good job. You did such a good job. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Shots were fired a couple weeks ago when Todd took a pot shot at my haircut. Was anybody here today? Is Todd here this morning? Is Todd here? Oh, chicken. Knew I was going to do this. He's hiding. All right. He told me, and I realized that some people don't know the difference between bangs and curtain bangs. Okay, there's a distinct difference between the two. The first one is what you get when you're having a midlife crisis, and I almost got that, but I got curtain bangs, which are a little bit different. As a matter of fact, this haircut that I asked my stylist for, one of the names for it is kind of like a shag cut, but another name for it is called a wolf cut. Right? Which is kind of fitting, you know. Good boy. Who's a good boy? This is also a true story. I just moved into the campground and into the RV. And as I was getting ready last Sunday for C3, I was looking for my shampoo and my conditioner, and I could not find it. get freaking anywhere. And I was pretty sweaty and pretty dirty, and I looked in the corner of my bathroom, and I saw Ella's shampoo. I pick it up, and I look at the bottle. It says, for breeds of all sizes, long and short hair, all these great ingredients, coconut, you know, different kinds of things I can't pronounce. So I'm like, I took a shot, and I used it, and I've been using it for a week now. And I think it kind of goes really well with my wolf dress. And I bet it's felt pretty good. Can you stand up for a second? Be honest, okay? Have you felt some hair before? You know, okay. I want you to be honest and tell everybody else what you think. So the last time I shampooed was yesterday. I got my dog shampooed, so okay. Spiritual heroes and people I love and look up to, I find that they laugh more the older they get. And that's, I think, a mark of a life well lived. The older you get, the easier you can laugh. Think of the Dalai Lama, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the Book of Joy. Anybody read that? The laughter, the joy. Watching them together is such a treat. To see just the sheer joy of a wonderful friendship. Or one of my favorites, Ram Dass, in his later years, after strokes and being wheelchair bound, he was more joyful, more light, quicker with a laugh, and even earlier in his life. We laugh not because life is easy, but because life is strange, it's absurd, and it's beautiful. That's why we laugh. And we laugh because we're still here. We're still in the game, folks. The story is still going on. The next chapter is still coming, and who knows what it's going to contain? Who knows what fresh absurdities await you this afternoon, next week? Who knows what great story that you're going to tell for years to come that you haven't lived yet? You just might miss it. You don't learn to develop a little bit of. I'm going to invite our musicians to come back up. And while they're coming up and getting tuned, I want to just give you a heads up on a couple of things. This is not as much an ending to the talk as it is just sharing a few exciting things that are happening. You know. So as I mentioned, we were going to do the walking discussion today, the last Sunday of every month. Our plan is throughout the summer, while the weather's good, we're going to do, in place of talk back, we're going to do walking discussion or walking talk. Today it's a little chilly, and so we're going to pivot, and we're still going to meet at Out of the Sands, but I'm going to have everybody drive back to the campground area. Park, there's a loop and then a gravel parking lot there. You just follow it all the way back in. And we're going to do a bonfire. We've got a nice big fire pit out there, lots of room outside, so we can easily get quite a few of us around there.
Can we bring chairs?
You can bring chairs. There's rocks, logs, and seating, but chairs would be a good idea. So that's a good thing. So that's that. Next week, May 3rd, start of a new series that we're calling The Ritual Life. Really excited about that one, exploring how simple, intentional practices can help us mark meaning and connect with the sacred in everyday life. Our very own Ruth Zwall will be presenting in that one. That's obviously within her wheelhouse. May 3rd. Carolyn Coble, who is the PhD in drumming lady, who normally travels with Grace Tyson, is also going to be here and is going to talk for just a little bit about ritual within music. Music as a form of ritual and how she uses that within her work. So that's going to be great. June 14th is our Pride Sunday at C3. So it's normally the first week of the month, but this time we did it the second week of the month. We're really geeked. We're going to have promo stuff coming out really soon for it. Jay Kaplan is an attorney with Michigan's ACLU Division for LGBTQ plus project. He works defending the rights of those within that community, and he's got a lot of great things to say. I talked with him by Zoom, and what I love is instead of being this stodgy lawyer, he just exudes joy and had just the most wonderful smile and personality. I'm so excited. He was here 10 or 11 years ago, so some of you may remember him, but he's going to be our keynote speaker that day. And then Grace Tyson, who I mentioned earlier, is actually going to come with her full trio. So we're going to kind of pull out the stops a little bit. It's going to be an amazing day. Mark your calendars, June 14th. And then this one's a little further out, and I'm just teasing this. This is inside information only. September 12th and 13th. Make sure you're around that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, September 12th and 13th. Those of you who went last year, we did a special concert with the Rough and Tumble. We're going to do another kind of a fall concert. We're still kind of exploring what that looks like. There's a new Nashville artist that we discovered called Lizzie No. And as our group has been kind of listening to her, we're just blown away by her genre-defying music and her powerful, powerful lyrics. Her live album is called Kami Country, which is kind of a genre she invented. It's going to be amazing. So that one, mark your calendars, September 12th and 13th. And while we're at it, just a little bit of recognition for Marianne, and then David helps her as well, for our music. Especially Marianne, spends a lot of time communicating, working out dates, juggling things, dealing with my last-minute craziness and switching things around. So there, we've got some amazing people in there. Have I stole enough for you two? Okay, good. That was professional stalling right there to help our musicians out. Everybody give our guest musicians this morning another big, 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 big